church where we come and learn how to overcome and win in life. And we get each other fired up again because Jesus is coming soon, isn't he? And he's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle, and he took care of that with the blood. But he don't want us cold, so we get here and fire each other up. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. We'll be ready. Before we pray over any tithes or offerings, if you need an envelope, just raise your hand, and one of these young, lovely young ladies will get it to you. We're going to talk about, before we start the service, we're going to talk about the laws of prosperity. And I want to start off that we are to become established. God has a covenant. He has a covenant with us. Praise God. But the good news is, you know, see, when the curse came, it was a threefold curse. You know, it came with death, came with sin and death. And then poverty and lack was attached to it. And then sickness and disease was attached to it. Anything bad. I mean, it was serious stuff. But guess what? We've been redeemed from the curse. Jesus redeemed us from the curse. And that's also threefold. We have life now, eternal life. Isn't that good news? Right? And then we have the forgiveness. We can go boldly to his throne in time of need. And then we get provision because it comes with a covenant. That's provision and healing. Isn't that good? And so in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing so that we could live in the blessing. Isn't that good? So we can have the blessing of Abraham because we are the children, the descendants of Abraham through Jesus. Isn't that good? Amen. See, to be without God is to be without a covenant. To be without a covenant is hopeless. I remember back in the day before I was a Christian, before I had a covenant with God, you know, there was a time I was homeless. I was sleeping in people's living room floors, and I used to have nightmares of ending up homeless again, breaking down in cars all the time. Not anymore. I'm in the blessing. If I have a need, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a need. We're going to have needs. If we're going to have needs in this world, and guess what? It's taken care of. It's provided for. We just got to ask for it. It's already set aside. Isn't that good? You know, I'm going to look at Ephesians 2:12. And it says this, that at that time you were without Christ. We were aliens, foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenant of promise. We had no hope. We were without God in this world. Without God in this world, it's bad news.
Right.
It's bad news without God in this world, right? And here's a different version in the message. But don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you outsiders to God's ways had no idea of any of this, right? There was a time I had no idea. You know, didn't know the first thing about the way God works, knew nothing of the rich history of God's covenant and promises, right? We didn't have a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. But now, because of Christ, dying that death, shedding that blood, you who were once out of it altogether are now in on everything. That's pretty good. We just got to find it. Right? We got to find out what's in it. And here's one thing that's in it. Deuteronomy 8:18 says here, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms this covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as if it was today. And here's the message on that one. I love the message. If you start thinking to yourselves, I did all of this all by myself. I'm rich. It's all mine. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so that as to confirm the covenant that he promised to your ancestors as if it was today. He made a covenant to provide for us, to give us what we need, to provide for our needs. Give us... You know, he gives us a sound mind. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind so we can do what we need to do. Isn't that good news? And see, this is what some of the blessings are. I'm usually done by now, but Pastor wants me to go a little bit longer from now on because he wants us to find out. He wants us to learn how to prosper. God wants us to learn how to prosper. You know, we don't want the, because if the world has it all, we see what they're using it to promote, and it produces brokenness in families, brokenness in the minds, brokenness everywhere. But when God's family has it, guess what? It gets the good news out. It gets the good news out. And so Deuteronomy 28, it has all the blessings and all the curses. And those curses are bad. But the blessings, this is what's in the covenant. And guess what? We have a better covenant than the old one. But this is pretty good covenant. I'm going to read this one. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. That's pretty good. You'll experience all these blessings. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. That includes our cities. Our fields will be blessed. Our children will be blessed. Our crops will be blessed. Even our animals will be blessed. That's pretty good. Our food and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we'll be blessed. That's a pretty good covenant. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They may attack you from one direction, but they'll flee from you in seven. That's a pretty good promise. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. Guaranteed. This is the word of God. It's not something I'm making up. And will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. If you obey these commands that I'm giving you today and walk in his ways, and he will establish you as his holy people. Just like he swore he would. He keeps his word. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. We've seen that before, and guess what? I'm believing we're going to do it again. Amen. We just need to get everyone back to God. The Lord will give you prosperity, see, in the land that he swore to give you, right? Blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury. I'm calling in for that rain in Jesus' name. You'll lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. That's debt-free nation. We're believing for that in Jesus' name. That's right. If you listen to these commands, if you fully obey them, you'll be the head and not the tail. Amen. I like being the head, not the tail. I lost my place. You'll always be on top and never at the bottom. And so that's the covenant. And guess what? We have a better covenant than that. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. In fact, in Hebrews 8:6, it says this. But now Jesus, our high priest, he's our high priest. Back then they had a high priest that was human. In fact, he had to do a sacrifice just for himself. But Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice. So he's our high priest. He's been given a ministry that's far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us. Anyone had to go through mediation before? Yeah, he had to. Yep, that's right. He mediated a better covenant based on better promises. It's there, written, and covered by the blood of Jesus. That's for us. Isn't that good? So we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. In fact, part of the covenant is a provision, because in Philippians 4:19 it says, God will supply your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if we have a need, guess what? He's got a provision, and it's in our covenant. You know, too many people are saying, I believed it too. I really thought, God's will is to be, you have to take the vow of poverty. Right? Where did that come from? It came from the enemy. It came from the enemy. The enemy knows if the body of Christ has money, it's going to be used for good. It'll be coming from his kingdom because he stole it all. He's a trespasser. He stole it all so he can steal, kill, and destroy. But when God's people have it, we do it to get people out of his kingdom. That's exactly what the problem is. But we found out, didn't we? In fact, in 3 John 2, it says this, and this was John. that said, Jesus, I'm the one that Jesus loves. He knew he was loved. And this is when he was older. He said, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. In the King James, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. See, when our soul prospers, it's when it's renewed by the word of God, because our spirit got, when we're born again, our spirit is reborn. But we got to get our mind reborn with the word of God. And when our mind is renewed by the word of God, we'll start making better choices in life. And guess what? That comes with prosperity, because it'll be God's way. God's way is the blessed way. Amen? So I'm liking it already. But I like this. In Psalm 35:27, it says this. I like the King James. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord me be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. If God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, how much more his own children, right? Praise God, because we're not even servants anymore. He made us his children. So I just wanted to go over that just to show, you know what? God has plans for us. Isn't that good? And he has plans to get the good news to every person. And I'm really excited because I really feel like we're moving into a new phase. We're ready to possess the land. We're ready to possess the land, reach out to our community. We're going to start doing that more to get the good news out there, because there's a lot of people that are afraid. There's a lot of lies out there, but we have the truth, don't we? Amen. Well, let's pray. Well, Father God, we come before you, and we just thank you, Lord. We thank you we have a better covenant, Lord. And you said that when we bring our tithes and offerings to you, Lord, you open up the windows of heaven. You pour out a blessing so big there's not even room enough to take it all in. I thank you, Lord, that you rebuked the devourer from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground, and all the nations would call us happy and blessed. You said that when we give, it'll be given back. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men bring into our bosom. And you also said when we sow, we can expect a 30, 60, or 100-fold, or as much as we can believe, and some are believing for a 1,000,000,000-fold, because we got a lot of work to do. So, Lord, I'm calling for increase. I'm calling for the blessing and the return on every household here in the name of Jesus, and all who agree, say amen. Amen. If you young ladies could pick those up. Thank you. Trying to think of any announcements. We do have Monday night recovery every Monday night at 6:30. If you know anyone that needs some help, and it could be addictions, it could be depression, it could be family problems. We have it every Monday night at 6:30. Mm-hmm. And anything else special?
No, that's
all right.
Sounds great to me. Boy, I'm just letting you keep going. Hallelujah. You're preaching away. I love when you're kicking the word out. Just word, word, word. Hallelujah. Kicking the word out. We like that. Well, as you remember what year it is, it is 2016, and 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose, right? We're believing God for that. The great breaking loose in our lives and good things happening through Jesus. And hallelujah. So I'm gonna say it together. We can say it together. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. That's what I'm believing, Lord. Lord's gonna do some great things in our lives. Hallelujah. Great things. Glory to God. Trying to juggle this with two or three hands here. Who's all for the manifestation of God's word in the house? Who wants the manifestation of God's word here? Praise God. Yeah, you want God to manifest up here. And who wants his nine spiritual gifts to manifest here? Praise God. We want to see God here and the Holy Spirit here. Praise God. So we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. God, do what you want to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We just got done finishing up on Sunday morning and with the first phase, which is part one of God's favor in our lives, how he favors his children, praise God. He loves us. I mean, whew, God loves us. Wow, what Jesus went through on the cross, or going to the cross, just to make us, save us. Because if he didn't do it, we were doomed. Thank God he did it. He, even with the blood pouring out of his head, he still went, praise God. What Adam couldn't do, Jesus got the job done, thank God. Thank God for it, so we could all go to heaven, hallelujah. And God gives us favor. This word, if you haven't looked through it, is full of God's word about favor and how he favors his children. He loves you. In fact, the word grace is unmerited favor. It's God's favor in your life. That's what grace means. It's God's favor, hallelujah. So he favors his children. Look over at Psalms 35. Chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Or in his favor is life. Favor is life. Favor is a lifetime. It's lifetime. It was there even when his children, the Israelites and David's descendants, went and done the wrong thing and went the wrong way, and the Babylonians carried him off, God's favor was still on their descendants. You know, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the favor didn't leave. It was still on the descendants, waiting for them to make the right choice and turn towards God. When they did, what happens when you turn back towards God? The favor kicks back in, praise God. It was there waiting. It was there waiting on the whole time. It had been there for that last king that was David's descendants if he wouldn't have went to playing in Satan's playground over there with them golden images and bowing down to him, burning incense in the house of the Lord. It was, you know, it was built that David had Solomon build. But the good news is the favor is still there. God, even though he was angry there for a little bit, he's right back in there. And now the good news through Jesus Christ is grace, mercy, and love. Favor is there for good. Well, he's wiped out, blotted out every sin. Totally gone, hallelujah. It's not just covered anymore. That's good news. Good news. Favor is the key for you to arrive at your destiny. At your destiny, praise God. Wherever that is. Whatever God's put in your heart. I mean, you know, we know his favor is there and his word is true for your health and wholeness and healing and these things and your blessings, and every need is taken care of. But also, he's given each and every one of callings and gifts, praise God. That favor is there if we'll get in there and start following God to get us to that level, praise God. We can't give up. Don't quit. Who was it? It was John Osteen. This tickled me. John Osteen, he actually started Lakewood Church back in 1959. He was going to First Baptist, or not First Baptist, whatever Baptist church it was down there. He got saved. He was saved, filled the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues, and they kicked him out. So in 59, he ended up going Lord led him to an old feed store in the back of it. He started a church. Lakewood Church, they started in the back of an old feed store. So he's married, and they started having children. You got Joel and Lisa and April and the different children. And after John had passed away, all three of them talked about how John would tell each one of them by themselves. They would be running around him. He goes, "You're my favorite. You're my favorite. You're my favorite." He'd be going, "Joe, you're my favorite." Then sometime he'd be over there with Lisa, "You're my favorite." Then April, "You're my favorite." But he, you know, it's true. Everyone was his favorite, but he didn't let the other ones know that he was saying it to each one of them, praise God. That's kind of how God is with us. Each one of us is his favorite, praise God. There's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Because he loved us. I mean, he paid a mighty dear price sending the son to that cross for our salvation. Hallelujah. He paid the price, and he loves us. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Isn't his favor wonderful? His favor is wonderful. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. "But by the grace, the unmerited favor and blessings of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not found to be for nothing, fruitless and without effect. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, the apostles, though it was not really I, but the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, which was in me." That's what Paul said. Paul was saying, "I'm nothing without God's favor. I'm nothing without God's favor on my life." But Paul couldn't have got it done without that grace, that unmerited favor. It's that unmerited favor that was in his life, praise God. A man that was beat with rods and stoned and shipwrecked and everything else, But he never gave up, never quit. No matter what the devil threw at him, he knew God's favor was on his life, and he preached that gospel. He knew God would take care of him. Hallelujah. He knew it. Hallelujah. Look over at Psalms 67. Psalm 67, verse 1. Chapter 67, verse 1. God be merciful and gracious to us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us and among us. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. I like that. Pause and calmly think of that. I'll say it again just because of what the word said. God be merciful and gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us and among us. Selah. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. That your way may be known on earth, and the saving power and the deliverance and salvation among the nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, his favor, his face is shining upon us. Any time the Israelites, I'm telling you what, they would stay following the Lord, God would help anybody, praise God, because his favor was on them, because they loved him. Well, that's the same way with us nowadays. And stay in there. That's why we read our Bible first thing in the morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And get in there and read it and study it. You know, read your chapters and do your confessions. Praise God. Do your prayers. Praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. All those things. And throughout the day, whenever the Lord's leading us, we do the same thing. Night, I like before I go to bed and at night now, I'll get my confessions out and saying them. I got these list of confessions I give to the men on up here at the Franklin County Jail on Sunday nights. You know, I tell them, this is what changed me. I got saved. I filled the Holy Spirit. Got my prayer language. And I done these, doing the word, and I started confessing God's word over my life. And within I started going after God more and more every day. It just seemed to increase. God, it just increased. And I say, if you give me about 2 years of not quitting, and breakfast, dinner, and supper, you know, starting out, you need to be doing it three times a day, and take these words of God, these promises, and be saying them over yourself, and make sure you're reading your Bible first thing, doing all that too first thing. And it will totally transform you in 2 years, praise God. You won't be the same person. I guarantee it won't. I know it won't. This guy can totally change if he'll put the word first and be confessing. Hallelujah. And I believe they're doing it, praise God. I believe they're doing it. Change their life. Change their life. Let's look over to Psalms. Hold on. Let's look over at Numbers 624. No, excuse me, I'm wrong. Let's look over at Psalms 119. That's where I want to go. Psalms 119. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful and gracious to me according to your promise. I'll say it again. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. In other words, he went after God's favor with his whole heart. Be merciful and gracious to me according to your promise. It's a promise. Promise of favor, praise God. And merciful, he's merciful, God. Thank God for it. That's what we're doing. We're going after him with a whole heart. We know we got this. It's like a shield around us. Remember, I started this out on Sunday morning with Psalm 91, where it talks about we got this protection of God watching over us, though 1,000 may fall one side and 10,000 on the right hand. I tell you what, we're going to live in a day and time now. You need that protection. You need God protecting like that nowadays, praise God. You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, they didn't think about it. But nowadays, you never know what you're going to run into with all the traffic, people running around, everything's going on. You got to be thankful and putting that full armor of God on. That full armor of God and his protection, hallelujah. It's good stuff. It's good to know. Hebrews 4:16. That's a very familiar passage. 4:16. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly. Boy, that's amazing. God, he loves us, folks. He loves you. God loves you. This is what he's telling you to do. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy, for our failures and find grace to help in the time for every need, appropriate, well, and well-timed help coming just as we need it. A God that, I mean, comes through and takes care of us, hallelujah. That's what we'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just if we'll do His word and stay in His word, what a difference it makes in our life. It's just a life of increasing with God. Increase in the word, you increase in wisdom, and your life will increase for the better, for the good. I was going to say the gooder, but I guess that's not a word. I'm going to say the better. And everything in your life gets much better, praise God. Let's turn over and look at Esther. Y'all, the book of Esther. Talk about the queen, Queen Esther. Queen Esther. All right, you remember that Mordecai, her uncle, had told her to go to the king. Let's go, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now, Mordecai told Esther. See, Mordecai was, they were Jewish, him and Esther. Esther was his niece. And there was the king was not a Jewish king. And they lived in a nation that was not a Jewish nation. But just like when Jesus and the Jews lived in the Roman time, it was kind of like this time with this king. And so the queen had, that was previous queen, had disobeyed the king. So he put her away forever. So he was looking for a new queen. So that's when Mordecai, Esther's uncle, had talked to Esther. And she became one of the candidates to be the new queen. The whole time, this man named Haman, who was he was part of that nation of that king and everything, was there and trying to give counsel to the king, you know, trying to, you know, butter him up, I would say. Butter him up, trying to be buddies with him. Anyway, so we're going to read verse 1 out of chapter 5. On the third day of the feast, Esther put on a royal robe and stood in the royal inner court of the king's palace, opposite his throne room. The king was sitting on the throne facing the main entrance of the palace. And when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor. What'd she get? And that's only from God. God had given Queen Esther favor to this king, hallelujah, in the sight. And he held out to her his golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king said to her, "What will you have, King Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom." Up to half of his kingdom, praise God. He would give you up half of the kingdom. That's favor. So what happened was, she was scared to go at first, but Mordecai said, "You got to, because Haman's going to try to kill, plot is to kill all the Jews. You know, that's been tried before. You can't kill them. I mean, we had one madman that tried to kill all the Jews, and it wouldn't happen. And stuff. So, I mean, this happened at a different period of time. But you know what? It all turned around for the favor of the Jews, because God used Mordecai and Esther, who feared God, and God gave them favor in front of this king. Hallelujah. Amen. Favor. There's favor on Esther and the Jewish people. In fact, who was it? Haman had built the, in fact, it was a law. Haman had talked the king into making a law. You know, that signet ring, they'll make it a law back in those days, his signet ring. And Haman had actually built a gallows to hang Mordecai, because he hated Mordecai. The reason why he didn't hate him, because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him when he come through the gate. And it made Haman mad, because he wouldn't bow down to him. Well, Mordecai would only bow down to God. He would only get down on his knees to God, and that was it. He wasn't going to bow down to Mordecai, to Haman. And when it all come turned around, she got her petition granted by the king, have the king, plus to have a meeting and to eat, dine with the king and Queen Esther and Haman, because she's fixed to reveal his evil plot. Thank God for favor in their behalf. And here come all the meeting. They're having their eating, and they're talking. And afterwards, she's telling about the plot to kill all her people, the Jews. And then the king walks over here, and then, oh, what you call it, just has fit. Haman just, oh, just like probably turned white as a ghost, I imagine, scared because he knew his life was in jeopardy. And then he just kind of almost falls on Queen Esther, try to play, beg for mercy. And the king comes back through, and there he is almost laying in her lap. And that's it. They took Haman. The guards came in and hung him on own gallows that he was going to hang Mordecai the Jew. And but you know what? It all turned around for their favor, praise God, because they trusted God. That's what favor would do for a child of God, hallelujah, that love him. He loves you. It turned around. The Jews were able to send gifts. The law was changed for their benefit. Favor even will change laws, praise God, even today for your benefit. God can do it if you got faith. They had faith. They were stepping out in faith. And they sent gifts to one another. And those people that were going to attack them, they actually got to attack them before they, tried to attack them. They killed those guys that were going to plan on killing them. They got Haman and the other ones, praise God. That's a favor of God, hallelujah. You get restoration, great victories, prominence, preferential treatment, grants, policies, rules, laws, regulations changed, and battles won that you don't even have to fight, praise God. All because of God's favor in your life. As you trust him and love him, that's what he does for you. Favor. Let's look over Psalms 44. Psalms 44. Psalms 44, please. Verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work you did in their days, in the days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, and it was with your power that you gave Israel a home by rooting out the heathen people, but Israel you spread out. For they got not the land of Canaan in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance did it, because you were what? Favorable toward and did delight in them. Favorable. And God never changes, and his word never changes. He's just as favorable to us as he was favorable to them. That's why he drove out those inhabitants. Remember Joshua and him took the land? Yeah, took out all the land and the Jebusites and all them and kicked them all out. God's favor was on them. They're favorable, praise God. Thank God for it. Because if you think you're nothing but just nothing and you're just a worm or whatever else, you ain't. Well, that's what the devil will beat you over the head with that and make you feel like you're a worm and worth nothing and you can't never get anywhere in life. And God's wanting to do great stuff with you to maybe to evangelize and bless you with finances to finance the greatest revival in Mount Vernon, Texas there ever was. You don't know what God wants to do with that, praise God. What $1 million what the world can do, well, God could probably do with $5 because he won't buy, the Christians won't buy $950,000 worth of booze and everything else with it. A guy can use a lot better, praise God. All right. God's favor. And not remember, not only was Esther favored by God, so was Ruth. Ruth was favored, hallelujah. Who did Ruth marry? She married Boaz. Remember, she was looking for her Boaz, that man of God, hallelujah, that man of God. That's who Ruth was looking for. She found favor. Well, that's like Monica. She found her Boaz. She found favor with God and found me. I'm kidding. And I think I done better than she did, hallelujah. I really got the favor, hallelujah. Let's look over at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, please. Now in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one." What did the angel Gabriel say to Mary? "Hail, O favored one." In other words, endued with grace. You've been favored by God. The Lord is with you. blessed, favored of God are you before all women. You know what? She needed favor to fulfill her destiny. And God's favor was on her life. God's favor was on her life. Praise God. I'm here to tell you, favor is on your life if you're following God and doing His will. You're obedient to Him. Favor is there to get your destiny to come to pass. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? That's what God's favor does. I mean, you love your children. Well, He loves His children too. He shows them favor. Let's look over to Exodus chapter 3, 21. Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. Hold on here. Did I pass it? No. There we go. Exodus chapter 3, verse 31. 21, excuse me. 21. Back up 10 chapters. I mean 10 verses. Verse 21. And I will give this people favor and respect in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you go, you shall not go empty-handed. That's what the Lord said to Moses and the Israelites. I'm going to give you favor with insight and respect in the sight of the Egyptians. You know what? One encounter with God's favor is worth a lifetime of labor. One encounter with God's favor on your life is worth a lifetime of labor. Hallelujah. You know, in one day, the Egyptians paid for 430 years of slavery. One day. Restoration in one day. One day. You know, the Israelites were in slavery for 430 years to the Egyptians. And one day, they come out of there with it all. These Egyptians were like taking their golden earrings and silver and all the jewelry and diamonds, whatever. Get it and go. Get out of here. There's nothing left of Egypt. I mean, the trees are gone, the cattle's gone, the water's turned to blood, and there's flies and lice and whatever, all the other plagues, 10 plagues total. And the last one was the firstborn being dead, died. It was bad. And they were saying, go, please go. God's favor. Favor is on my life. Let's say it together. Favor is on my life. God's favor is on my life. Hallelujah. If Jesus had to have favor on His life, you will need it too. Let's look over at Luke 2:40. We'll see where it says that there's favor in Jesus' life. Luke 2:40. If Jesus had to have it, you're going to need it to have it too. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and the grace, favor and spiritual blessings of God was upon him. He had favor upon him, Jesus did. He had favor by his Father. Hallelujah. Amen. We're joint heirs. Bible says you're a joint heir. Aren't you a joint heir with Jesus Christ? That's right. So the favor's on you too. If he had to have favor on him, you need too to live in this life. Verse 52 of the same chapter. 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and broad and full understanding, and in stature and years, and in favor with God and man. Favor with God and man. Jesus had favor with God and man. Well, if you're a joint heir and descendant and there with Jesus, my goodness, you got favor too with God and man. Thank God for it. You know you got favor with God, because I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for God watching over you, you'd have been dead already, because the devil would have already killed you. You know you got favor with God. You can tell it. Hebrews 2:17. So it is evident that it was essential that he be made, talking about Jesus, be made that he be made like his brethren. He be made like his brethren. In other words, like us, in every respect, in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in the things related to God, to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sin. I'll say it one more time. In other words, we're his brother. He be made like his brother. So it was evident that it was essential that he, that's talking about Jesus, be made like his brethren in every respect, in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in the things related to God, to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sin. Hallelujah. Yeah, he whatever we're going through, whatever you've been through, Jesus has been tempted by the devil too. He's been through it too, just like you said, talking about the blood coming out of his forehead. But you know what? God's favor is there, just like he's, you can overcome anything. That's why the Bible calls you an overcomer. It says it over there that you're an overcomer, praise God, over in 1 John, we're called overcomers. Because we're overcoming the devil, keeping him under our feet. God put him there. Jesus put him there. That's where he's supposed to stay. Hallelujah, is under our feet. Stay in the Word. You stay in the Word, keep it in you, keep it coming out your mouth. You'll keep the old devil under your feet because of God's favor. One last scripture. 1 Peter 2:21. For even to this were you called. It is inseparable from your vocation. I'll say that again. For even to this you were called. It is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example, that you may follow in his footsteps. We're going to have to follow in Jesus' footsteps, and that's his favor. We're going to have to believe in it, that God's got his favor, just like he did Jesus, and to take care of us, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's all stand. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word, that you love your children, that you favor us, and that your blessings and favor are on our life. And we give you all the glory and the praise for it. Lord, I pray that each and every one here, they understand that. And they see it in the word of God about your favor. And they say, hey, I'm favored by my God's favor on my life. And I pray that they see it, that they're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And they say, I like you. I like that favor of God that's on my life, because you enjoy us, and you're a merciful, wonderful God. And I thank you, Lord, for reveal it to them like never before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, if there's anybody that's in the sound of my voice that's listening through the CDs or through the Voice of Believers Church.org, and you say, hey, I want this favor. I want this Jesus, this new life that have the help I need and the protection I need here on earth. And you say, I want Jesus. Well, Romans 10:9-10 states that if you believe that Jesus died on the cross, was raised back to the right-hand side of the Father, and you ask him into your heart, you shall be saved. And all it takes is a simple prayer of making Jesus the Lord of your life, just humbling yourself before Jesus. The Bible also says over in Luke 11:13 that you can ask him to fill you up with his Holy Spirit. He's going to give you his very best, his Holy Spirit. Now, if you're listening to this and you say, I want this Jesus, and I want this new life, well, then all you got to do is pray this after me. Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and was raised back to the right-hand side of the Father. Just fill me up with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, just show me what you have for my life, your will for my life. Let me live for you. And show me what church I need to be going to in my area. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, then you get on voiceofbelieverchurch.org and you send us that prayer link and tell us about it, and we'll be praying with you and rejoicing with you. And like I said, you find you a good Bible-believing church that'll teach you to have faith in Jesus and his word. And you'll grow in that. And just make sure you tell others about it. And thank you for it. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone here. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, everyone's listening. I say that we're all the head and not the tail. We're the lender, not the borrower. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessing the city, blessing the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he'll flee from us seven, because he is in us, the Holy Spirit's greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We have no man anything except to love one another. Our God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We give, and it should be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It shall mean given our bosom. The same measure we meet with all shall be measured us again. Beloved, I pray above all things thou mayest prosper, be in healthy, and thy soul prosper. Though 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 right hand, nothing deadly will come near us. Nothing deadly. The long life you get, satisfy us with. We thank you, Lord, for a long, satisfied life in you, Jesus. Lord, we take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ. Any thoughts that shouldn't be there, thoughts of fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, depression, discouragement, condemnation, heaviness, we say, oh, thoughts of the devil, you get out of our mind and go in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over mine. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word. Lord, just bring us those people that don't know you, Jesus, into our life. That way we can minister Jesus to them in his love and tell them about what he done for us and them on the cross. And Lord, when Lord, use us to be soul winners, Lord. And Lord, those that do know you, that are down or just need a word of encouragement, that we can be that blessing to them and speak the blessing to them and tell them how Jesus came to give them life and give it more abundantly. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me send y'all out with a blessing. Let me send you up. Moses, God give this to Moses, so I'm going to speak this over y'all. The Lord bless y'all and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon y'all and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Everybody that's saved, got Jesus in your heart, raise your hand. All right, come up here and get baptized. Oh, praise God. We baptized you. I know you're saved. Hallelujah. And you prayed, did a prayer of salvation. Anybody needs any prayer for anything in their life, you can come forward and Monica and I will pray for you. Hallelujah. If you need any prayer, we're dismissed. If not,
also, if you want to take some food home, we have to go boxes. If you can take some with you,
there you go. Now you can eat and get food and go to sleep. There you go.